form this morning. And this morning we are wrapping up on our series called Crucial Conversations, which we do on a yearly basis. And this morning we come to a topic that we really want to be very pastoral in. And we want to be very gracious and tender on this issue, because the issue that we're talking about, pornography, is, I think it would be fair to say it's just not an epidemic, it's a pandemic in our culture, and it affects everybody. And so this morning we're talking about pornography. And the reason why Rhonda's on the platform is because ever since, you know, iPorn came in, internet pornography, women have gotten more involved in this. Now, women have always been involved in porn. Usually, we often think of as the objectification of women. But increasing numbers of women are involved in pornography as addicted to pornography, consumers of pornography. And so we thought that it was would be really important this morning as we talk about pornography that you not only hear from me, but that you hear from Rhonda.
So why might you be interested in listening to this crucial conversation this morning? There could be a lot of different reasons, but among them, we believe that there are likely several of you here this morning that have children that you're concerned about. You know what they're being exposed to, you know what's available to them, and you know how accessible it is. And so as a parent, just really feeling concerned for them. There are likely several of you here today that are in that have been your marriages have been touched by pornography, and you're sitting here this morning and you're pretty angry at what pornography has stolen from your marriage. You're concerned for your spouse, but also you're hurting as well. You're pretty discouraged. You might be a life group leader or a friend, and you want to help, and you don't know how to do that effectively, or you might just be someone who wants to honor God with your sexuality, and you feel like you're swimming upstream in this culture on this issue. Finally, you might be someone who is in the thick of the battle with pornography and you want out. You're really exhausted from the bondage and you want to find some freedom from this today. So wherever you fall on this topic, we just want you to know that we've really prayerfully prepared this morning, and we are really hoping that you go away with some fresh insights. And if you're feeling discouraged, we hope you walk out of here with some hope. And can I just say that if you don't land in any of those categories, we still invite you to listen, because what we're going to talk about today has a lot to do with the battle for our minds. So this, what we're talking about, goes way beyond just the issue of pornography. So we just invite you to listen this morning and know that this comes from a place of grace as we're talking. And so really hope you feel blessed by this morning.
So this is where we're going to go this morning. There are the questions that we're going to answer. We're going to look at the significance of the problem, which probably doesn't need to be really proven, but we're going to talk about that for just a bit. And then we're going to ask a really important question, and that is, why do we have a problem with pornography? We want to look at the underbelly of why is this such an issue for so many people? And then thirdly, we want to ask, how do we move towards freedom? And we're going to comment on this later, but I want you to note how we've worded that third question. How do we move towards freedom? And we'll explain why we worded it like that when we get to that question. Just want to also say that this is not going, this teaching time this morning isn't going to end with a neat and tidy bow on the box kind of solution, because porn is powerful. It's persuasive, and it's unrelenting. So we're talking about something that is really dangerous and unrelenting this morning. So where we want to begin this morning is we want to root everything that we say in the Word of God. And we've really designed this message this morning to come from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And we want to go right to the heart of what the enemy tries to steal. We look at pornography as a thief. And Scripture makes all kinds of promises Scripture invites us, not Scripture, but the God of that Scripture through the authors invites us. And I want us to read together this morning Romans 12, because this is the foundation of what we're going to talk to you about this morning. So can you read that with me together? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, for a lot of you, if you've been a Christ follower for a long time, that's one of the verses the two verses here that you've read many, many times. It may be on parallel with John 3:16, but it's a great, great two verses back to back here, because it's a wonderful invitation. It's an awesome text, because if you notice in the conjunction there, I appeal to you, therefore, Paul is inviting us to remember what he's already said. He's asking us, look back at the first 11 chapters, and what I've actually talked about is really, really amazing. And so his appeal is based on what he's already said. And this next slide will show us those verses. And let me read this to you. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and inscrutable his ways. I love that word, inscrutable. For who knows, or who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he has been repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I think Paul here is saying, right, he's concluding 11 chapters of massive theology, and he's saying God is awesome. And so his invitation is, first of all, don't forget what I've talked about. God is awesome. Therefore, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And so this text is awesome because of what it asks us to look back at, but it's awesome because of the invitation to engage with this incredible God. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's the sense of a continuous sacrifice. And then here's the language of worship: holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So Paul is inviting us to worship this God. And then the other awesome thing about this is, if you look at verse 2, Paul is saying, don't be conformed to the world. Now, not everything about the world is wrong, but don't be conformed to it, but be transformed. And then he's saying, there's a better way to live. There's a better way to live than the patterns of the world. Instead, live according to the patterns of the kingdom of God, to the will of God. And then in verse 2, he says, notice at the end, it says, this is, you can test God's will. And Paul doesn't say, well, it's average, it's okay, it'll get by. No, he says, God's will is good, it's acceptable, and it is perfect. And so this is an incredible invitation. But here's the problem. Porn picks our pocket, doesn't it? There's an invitation, there's an opportunity, there's a quality, if you would say, of life to live here. God is attempting to put something in our pocket, and the enemy is, as we know, attempts to pick our pocket. Porn picks our pocket by what? Making presenting our bodies to God a real tough job. Would you not agree? Pornography appeals to the desires of my body, and so to present my body to God, oh my goodness. Porn attempts to pick our pocket. It attempts to pick our pocket by trying to make us think that the last thing we are is holy and acceptable. When we're addicted to pornography, or when we're exposed to it, I don't think it makes us holy and acceptable or feel that. I think it makes us feel perhaps shameful at times, embarrassed, in bondage. Porn tries to pick our pocket by sabotaging our worship, by hijacking God's plan to transform us. Everything that Paul says here, porn picks our pocket by putting God's renewal project of our minds on the shelf. And porn picks our pocket by hindering our ability to embrace the good and the perfect and the acceptable will of God. Porn picks our pocket. But you know, this thief, if you've ever had your pocket picked, often a pocket picker will kind of come up to you in a crowd and just slightly stick maybe his hand into your purse or your pocket and pull whatever's in there out. But this thief doesn't do that. This thief is loud. This thief is brazen. This thief is unrelenting. But this thief is persistent, and he's proud. How brazen is porn? Well, pornography has evolved so significantly so that what we now see in pop culture was once porn. Just think of that. What we once saw in what we now see in pop culture was once called pornography. And what was once on the fringes a decade ago is now mainstream and completely degrading to men and women who are being objectified. What was on the fringes and considered out there and crazy are now mainstream. Pornography is not sneaking up on us. It's brazenly looking you right in the face and picking your pocket. Listen to how loud pornography is. These next two slides. Some of us are familiar with this, but just want to establish how loud porn is. 8-year-olds are being exposed to hardcore porn now, probably even younger in different countries and states. A significant number of healthy men in their 20s cannot perform without Viagra because of their porn addictions. Many married couples in their 20s no longer have sex because it has become so meaningless to them. 35% of all internet downloads are porn-related. People who admit to having extramarital affairs were over 300% more likely to admit consuming porn than those who never had an affair. Porn sites receive more regular traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined each month. It's loud, isn't it? And then I got to turn and read it off here because the words are too small over there. But in December 2017, it was reported that an average of 197 million users visited Amazon.com and 127 million visited Walmart.com each month. Yet a leading pornography site draws 125 million visitors per day. According to a 2015 article on the website for Exodus Cry, an organization that works to combat human trafficking, in 1991 there were fewer than 90 different pornographic magazines published in America. By 1997, there were about 900 pornographic sites in the internet. In 2011, the internet filtering software CyberSitter blocked 2.5 million pornographic websites. And this is not just an American problem, of course it's a Canadian problem, but Gary Wilson, author of Your Brain on Porn, pointed to a study titled Young Australians Use Pornography and Associations with Difficult Sexual Risk Behaviors. The study reported that 100% of the young men ages 15 to 29 have viewed porn, and 82% of the young women. Also, the age of first viewing has continued to drop. 69% of males and 23% of females first viewing of porn is at the age of 13 or even younger, as we said earlier, perhaps the age is as low as 8. Notice porn doesn't sneak up on you anymore. It's just, it's loud and it's brazen. We asked a group of individuals a while back, what does it feel like to be surrounded by pornography? And they said words like this. It's awful. It's frustrating. It's always on. It's like you always have to be on guard. It's dark. It's heavy. It's burdensome. It's defeating. It's shameful. It's enticing. It's powerful. Porn attempts to pick our pocket of the truth and of the invitation of Romans 12, 1 and 2. It is really, really brazen.
So those statistics are pretty staggering. Some of you would have heard them, but for those of you that are just seeing some of that for the first time, it's pretty staggering. And really, I think the prevalence of pornography in our culture begs the question, why? Why on earth do we have such an enormous problem with pornography in our culture? Well, to simply conclude, it's because it's everywhere and because it's so easily accessible. Kids have porn in their pocket. So just because it's accessible, because it's everywhere, or because it's really accepted now, would fail to really see the complexity of this issue. It's a multi-layered issue. And so we need to look a little bit deeper. If we were to examine the issue of pornography more thoroughly, we'd have to look at a number of different things. And while my list isn't conclusive by any means, I'm going to highlight a few really important ones. So if we were to look at it more thoroughly, we'd have to look at the historical conditioning and the evolution of pornography. And Mark just talked about it a little bit, that once what used to be in Playboy and Penthouse is now in pop culture, and what now is in mainstream pornography is really dark and insidious and has actually shifted to be very degrading to women and really violent toward women. So it's a big shift that's happened in pornography, as some of you will see if you come and view the Over 18 documentary tonight, this afternoon. Also, if we were to look at this more thoroughly, we would have to look at the sexual revolution that has really changed the face of our whole culture. You would have to be, I think even if you were in seclusion, you'd be hard-pressed to miss that our culture has become really sexualized. We'd have to look at the nature of addiction, because like drugs, pornography is very highly addictive. And as we'll talk about a little bit later, you'd have to look at how the brain's physiology actually changes. You'd have to look at shame and how it drives men and women, boys and girls, into hiddenness. You'd have to look at isolation, which is very much a part of our social media culture. And then you'd have to look at the deep longings in our hearts that porn promises to fill. So there are a number of things that we would have to look at. And clearly we can't dig into all of those this morning, so we're going to just look at a few. And specifically, we want to look at, to answer the question of why it's such a big deal, we're going to look at God-given longings and the empty promises of porn. And then in a little while, we're going to look at our brain's physiology, how it changes when we view porn. So first of all, God-given longings and the false promises of porn to fill those longings. Almost a century ago, G.K. Chesterton, someone you heard quoted last week, wrote that the man or the woman who knocks on the door of a brothel is really looking for God. Michael Cusick, in his book Surfing for God, said, "Sexual arousal is an accumulation of your experiences, deep needs, and unconscious beliefs. Your heart shares a deep connection with your body parts. Indeed, sex is as much spiritual mystery as it is physical fact. The reality is that your heart needs something, and porn promises to meet that need. The reality is your heart needs something, and porn promises to meet that need." What are we looking for? I don't mean what are our goals in life, what do we hope to accomplish. I'm talking about what, as men and women, are our deep heart longings. You'll notice a list of longings on the slide, and if you were to write your own list, most of these would probably be on that list. I long to be loved. I long to belong. I long to know that I'm adequate and to know the approval of others. I long to be satisfied. I long to make a difference in others' lives. I long to be powerful. I long to feel secure. These are all God-given longings. He's given these, he's planted these in our hearts, and he's promised to fulfill these longings in us in a relationship with him, but also in God-honoring relationships, relationships that honor his design for intimacy. What happens? We often fail to believe that God is actually a good God, that he wants to meet those longings, that he's able to meet those longings. And I think a lot of us might say, I don't get how he could fill those longings. God's way up there. It's he feels kind of unknowable. So we get into this place where we don't really believe that he's going to fill those God-given longings, and so we settle for less. We become convinced that what the world has to offer is better than what God has to offer. And so in settling for less, we actually are vulnerable to being lured away by the empty promises of porn. C.S. Lewis once said, "Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak." We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Well, what are these empty promises of porn? We've looked at our longings, and we're going to have a look at the empty promises and how we can be lured into believing that these promises are true. So let's just go through these. Porn promises validation of my manhood or womanhood without requiring strength or substance. Porn promises sexual fulfillment without relationship. Porn promises intimacy without requiring risk and suffering, something that's inherent in real relationships. Porn promises passion and life without any connection to your soul. And this one specific to some men, porn promises power over women without responsibility and humility. And in this category, there are some who feel that using porn is an attempt at regaining lost or missing masculinity. Porn promises comfort and care without the need for relationship, without depending on others. So we have longings, and we have promises. Let's just take a few minutes to look how my longings can make me vulnerable to the empty promises of porn. So first, I long to be loved. That's pretty universal. I long to be loved, and then porn comes along and says, "I'll give you intimacy. I'll give you what you're looking for. And you don't need to pay for it. There's no risk. There's no suffering." But God designed sex to happen in an intimate, covenantal relationship where the tough stuff of life, the tough seasons of life, the risk and the suffering can all get wrestled to the ground in a safe, boundaried relationship. That's God's design. Porn gives the illusion of intimacy, but it's not real. It falls short. Second longing, I long to know I'm adequate and to know the approval of others. So porn comes along and says, there's an adoring man or there's an adoring woman here on this picture that's validating you and suggesting you are enough. Third, I long to be satisfied. Porn comes along with this one and is brazen and says, "I'll give you passion. I'll give you life. I'll make you feel like you're alive." And yet you could ask anybody that's addicted to porn and they'll say at the end of the day, they're left feeling empty. Their deep longings are not met. It's not satisfying. God promised to give us life and to give it abundantly. He's asking us to come to him to have our thirst and our hunger met in a relationship with him. Fourth, I long to belong. Porn beckons us and says, "I'll give you comfort and I'll give you care without the bother of the relationships. Relationships are too painful. I'll give you comfort and I'll give you care." It's just another lie. We're created for connection. And pornography fails to give us what we get and what we need from real life, authentic relationships. This next slide, I've listed the longings we've talked about and the promises we've talked about, and there's some handouts on the back table if you want to grab one. But this might be a really good exercise to spend some time on and to think a little bit more deeply, to be reflective on this point. A lot of these longings you may feel are met already for you, but there might be one or two that just jump off the page. You say, oh man, that I really resonate with that longing. And in reflecting, it would be really, really good to just look and see how your longing could set you up to believe the lies of porn. And you can go through the promise list and say, this is why I'm drawn to it. So as I mentioned at the beginning, this goes way beyond pornography. When we don't believe that God is good and he wants to meet our deep needs, then we're vulnerable to the lie of whatever it is that we're drawn to instead of a relationship with God. It might be that we're saying, you know what, I'm going to go after this relationship, even if it's not a God-honoring relationship, even if it doesn't look like what he had designed, I'm going to go here because I don't believe God is good enough. I don't believe he's going to come through for me and actually meet those deep needs. So this would be a helpful exercise for you to go through, or for you to, maybe if you're helping someone, to walk through that together.
So we've looked at the first two questions. What's the problem? And you can see the problem that but porn is brazen and it's loud and it picks our pocket. Why do we have a problem? Understanding some of the deeper issues of our needs and some of the false promises of pornography. This last question, how do we move towards freedom? Notice we didn't say, how do you get free? Full stop, right now, done. You're done. You just flip this switch and you're good to go. The question, how do we move towards freedom, is because we really believe that there's some work involved. And that's why we entitled this message, Porn, Again, Again, and Again, and Again. Because we make a commitment and then we fall. And then we make a commitment and then we fall. So how do we move towards freedom? And I realize that for some of you, even just asking the question is absurd. You say, like, I don't know. Freedom? I don't know anything like freedom on this issue. It would be like saying to someone, perhaps you feel like you've given a spoon and they're standing by the ocean and you're saying to them, now what we want you to do is to scoop out the ocean spoonful by spoonful until it's dry. And you'd say, are you kidding me? Well, equally so, this question, how do I move towards freedom? Some of you might say, are you kidding me? For yourself or for those that you love and you're trying to help in this particular issue. So I'm going to move really quickly on this next slide, but you'll see this next slide. These are some of the more common solutions, how to find freedom. And I'm not going to even read that. You can read that. Probably most of you have said, yeah, I've seen those before, and there's lots of wisdom in that. And there is, right? Those are really, really good things to do. You, in fact, if you want to walk in freedom as a man or a woman, you got to, this is foundational stuff. But we want to think about some deeper issues in order to find freedom. You see, when we come to the point of understanding what are my longings and what are some of the false promises of pornography, and really become convinced that it actually is a thief and it robs us, we then need to be convinced that God can restore and actually be the one to fulfill the longings he has given us. And so our first answer to this question is, how do you move towards freedom? Would simply be, we need to understand that God is better than pornography. On that next slide, yeah. So Rhonda's alluded to this already. The God is actually better than porn. If you look at our text, Romans chapter 12, there it is right there on the screen for you if you don't have a Bible. Ask the question, what's better than porn according to Paul? What's better than anything? He's saying God, right? And what is he saying? What is our response? He's saying, well, we need to worship this God. And worship has to do with acknowledging who has ultimate value in my life, or who can ultimately bring satisfaction in my life. And then if you notice in verse 2, it's not on the slide, but if you notice in verse 2, he says, you know, this God is so great that worship involves acknowledging who has ultimate worth, who can ultimately satisfy. And as you pursue him and find his will is just average. No, his will is good and it's acceptable and it's perfect. Now, if we don't agree with Paul that God is worthy of our worship, ultimate worth, satisfaction, if we somehow don't agree that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect when it comes to porn, then it really doesn't matter how many pieces of software you put on your computer. It doesn't matter how many rigorous accountability groups you're in as a woman or as a man. It doesn't really matter what kind of accountability structures you put in place, because if you don't really believe at the gut of your, the depths of your soul, your gut, that God is actually better than all of that, if you don't believe that, you will work around all those accountability structures, and you will look the woman in your face who's holding you accountable, or the man in your face who's holding you accountable, and you will lie to them. This issue of really coming to terms with, do I really believe that God is better than porn, is huge. And this principle can apply to all kinds of issues in our life. But here's the insidious nature of porn. That even when I do believe that God is better than porn, even when I am convinced that God is better than porn, even when I believe that to the core of who I am, there are times that offering up my body to God, as Paul is saying here, can be so difficult because of the temptation and my vulnerabilities. The insidious nature of porn is even when I believe that God is better than porn, I will be tempted at times and will fall to surrendering myself to pornography. That's the darkness and the battle of this issue. That's why we word the question, or the question is, how do we walk towards freedom? This is not the whole answer, but part of the answer to our question about freedom. This point that we're making highlights a core piece of walking in freedom, and it's just basically called discipleship. Discipleship. Let me illustrate with one further illustration here, just to drive home the point. This next slide is a picture of someone. Some of you know who he is, most of you don't. If I said to you, turn to the person beside you and have a conversation about that person, tell them everything you know about that person, most of you would have a very short conversation. But then if I said to you, oh no, before you turn to that person is my father. He passed away 2018, October the 8th. He was a teacher. He retired for 30 years in retirement. He invested heavily into the kingdom of God. He was a godly man. Now I want you to turn to the person beside you and I want you to tell him everything you know about my father. You'd have a bit more of a conversation, wouldn't you? But there would still be a huge difference between your relationship with my dad and my relationship with my dad, right? And one of the huge differences is this. You would have information, but I would have intimacy, or had intimacy. You would have the information about my father, but I would have intimacy because I've spent time, hours, days, about 56 years with him. Huge difference. I think sometimes we have information about our Heavenly Father, but we don't experience intimacy, or we've not spent much time getting to know him, not very intimate, not a lot of intentionality around investing in our relationship with God. It's a huge, huge issue. It's a discipleship issue. So do you see the problem? We're immersed in porn. Porn is brazen. We swim in it, but we spend at times very little time swimming in God. One of the key ways to believe God is better than porn is we need to spend time with him in discipleship to understand this and to really come to terms and settle this issue. A couple quotes before I hand the mic to my wife here. One person says this, Steve Gallagher, he says, in my years helping fallen pastors, so apparently pastors struggle with pornography as well, I have never had to minister to a Mary, but I've dealt with many Marthas. What does he mean by that? Well, in other words, those who stay at the feet of Christ are not nearly as susceptible to sexual temptation. Notice he says not nearly as susceptible. They're still susceptible, but not nearly as susceptible to sexual temptation as those who do not. Paul said, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The sensuous and seductive atmospheres that the enemy creates, notice this brazen issue, are very intoxicating to those who allow the busyness of ministry to crowd out their time with God, or who allow the busyness of being a student to crowd out their time with God, or who allow the busyness of my job or you just finished that sentence, to crowd out their time with God. And then I like this last quote from Lauren Winner from Real Sex. She says, in my attempts to live chastely, prayer has been key. It may sound hokey, but I have prayed regularly that God would reshape my heart. And here's a key line, eh? That God would reshape my heart and my desires so that I would want the things he wants from me. And every day I have prayed about sexuality when saying the line from the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. Of course, temptation doesn't refer just to sex, but for most unmarried Christians, sex is right up there on the list of temptations worth avoiding. And I love that quote because she's actually saying, God, I don't always actually think you're better than ... but would you help me believe that you're better than ... And so this is a process. And she's saying, I pray. Discipleship is about moving from the surface to the deeper connections and tasting and seeing that the Father is good. So that would be one of our answers. Remember, this is not like, got it, fix it, done. No, this is an answer to ponder. God is better than porn.
Okay, so we, in finding freedom, need to understand that God is better than porn, but we also need to understand the path to the renewal of the mind. Romans 12:2, says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Paul in Romans is instructing us, inviting us to enter into a process of transformation, not a quick fix, not something that happens overnight. This is an ongoing process of transformation. So we all know that wherever there's a mind, there's a brain. And while Paul in this scripture is talking about our thought life, our thought processes, it actually has a lot to do with the physical structure of our mind, which is the brain. Now, most of us have probably heard of something called neuroplasticity, and I am not going to expound on this because it is way above my pay grade, but it is a recent discovery in neuroscience, and it just refers to the brain's ability to change over time. So this was really a good news, bad news discovery. Good news because it helped us understand that our brain can actually change for the good over time. Bad news, which it's actually good news because now we know about it, but that our brains can develop deep ruts that are really easy to get into, but really challenging to get out of. And so this discovery was something that really gave us some further understanding about how pornography is really critical for our brains. This is a complicated process, but just to simplify it, let me give you the illustration of coming to the edge of a field. And the grass is waist high, and you want to get across that field. You need to get across. And it really not a huge challenge to do that, but really slows you down when the grass is that high. Imagine that you decide you needed to get across that field 3 or 4 times a week. And so you said, oh, I need to make a path. So you get out your weed whacker, you clear it off, and you start trampling it down over and over multiple times until you have a well-worn dirt path. You can move across it really quickly, little to no resistance. Well, the brain is quite similar to this in the way that it develops something called neural pathways. So if we go someplace in our mind over and over and over again, process of repetition, we can develop something called neural pathways. And this is a bit of a complicated process, but we can develop paths of little resistance. Our brain just learns to go there very, very easily. Ruts that are easy to get into, a little challenging to get out of. So another piece to this is something called dopamine. So dopamine is a chemical in the brain connected with excitement, with anticipation, expectation, and with novelty. And so when we view porn, there's this big hit of dopamine. And what happens with that is that it's a really heightened sense of excitement. So the greater the dopamine, or the greater the excitement, the greater the hit of dopamine in our brain. And this is really important when it comes to laying out those neural pathways. And this happens in a process of repetition. Neuroscientist William Struthers has said that porn is like crack cocaine, causing the brain to become neurochemically dependent. And then this next quote is quite interesting, taken from Cusick's book on Surfing for God. If some malevolent being held a competition to create the perfect delivery mechanism to enslave our human desire, internet pornography would win the grand prize. You must understand that online pornography is fundamentally different from the Playboys or penthouses of past generations. If the magazines, videos, and DVDs of the past were like the Wright brothers' plane at Kitty Hawk, then internet pornography would be a supersonic jet. Now, although supersonic jets are impressive for military use or high-speed travel, you wouldn't want one landing in your backyard. But this is the impact internet pornography makes on the brain. Its sheer power and intensity create a heightened level of stimulation that your brain was never intended to experience. Because of this, the brain of a man or a woman regularly using porn can change and shape itself to resemble neural pathways similar to those of an alcoholic or a drug addict. This is really sobering. And yet at the same time, it's really helpful to, for us to understand this so that we can raise the warning flag and really grab this thing by the throat before it does too much damage. So I mentioned that, and we're coming to an end here, mentioned that neuroplasticity is good news, bad news. So just as we have the ability to put down these unhealthy, destructive pathways, we also have the ability to create new pathways that are life-giving. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. New pathways can be formed when we're intentional about focusing away from pornography and turning our focus toward healthy thoughts and God-honoring patterns. So I'm going to pause and say, isn't it incredible? God, neuroplasticity was God's design. It was His idea. He came up with this. So science is just discovering what God has put in place for us to find healing and transformation in our brains. It was His idea. He gave us the ability to put down good pathways, life-giving pathways. And He also allowed us to experience the consequence of not taking our thoughts captive and letting material in past the eye gate that was destructive to our very soul. So back to the illustration of the field of grass. Just imagine if you walked past that path, you were intentional, you dependent on the Lord, you applied grit, you resisted temptation, you stayed away from that path, and you made some new paths, paths that were life-giving instead of joy-robbing, what would happen to that path? It would take time, but the grass would start to grow up, and there'd be less and less of a draw there, less and less of a temptation to go on that path. And the new path that you carved, your brain is going to more readily want to go there, and it's a good path. The process of renewing the mind doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, it takes grit, and it takes the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We want to encourage you this morning. There's hope for renewal. It's God's design that you experience renewal and transformation. Galatians 5:1, and this we close. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. This is his agenda for you. His intention for you is for freedom he set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery.
So there's a lot of information there, but hopefully there's some helpful instruction and insight into Romans 12, 1 and 2 as you think about this issue for yourself, or as you think about this issue as you're helping somebody out. We really encourage you, hopefully you took notes or you're obviously aware of this issue, and as the week proceeds, would you commit to prayer? Pray on this issue. Pray for the people you love, pray for yourself, pray for the church, because we really want to find freedom on this issue. To close, my wife and I want to pray for you. So will you bow your head with us as we lead you in prayer on this matter?
Lord, we recognize that there's no magical solution to this problem of porn. We need your help. But we also know we have to apply grit and do the hard work of resisting temptation and getting free. Help us to realize that we're not alone in this tough battle. You're with us every step of the way. Help us to adjust our expectations so we don't give up if it's taking longer than we'd hope for the grass to grow back on those old pathways. Help us to resist the temptation to walk on those paths and to be diligent about forging new ones, one step at a time, one day at a time. Lord, would you give us strength to meet the challenge of each temptation and the grace to forgive ourselves when we stumble? Help us to find our satisfaction in you. Help us to reject the lie that you are some lofty authority figure who's unknowable and unreachable and who's really unwilling to meet our deep longings. Help us to take you at your word that you came to give us life and to give it abundantly. Give us eyes to see that the enemy's cheap substitutes for satisfaction rob us of life and joy. Would you cleanse our minds of the filth we've allowed in? Would you forgive us where we're willfully sinning and have sinned against you? Would you lift our shame and help us in a powerful way to know your cleansing and your forgiveness?
And as I pray, would you stand with me? And if you're okay with this, if you would just open your palms to the heavens as we pray. So please stand with me as I pray this over us this morning. And Lord, perhaps this issue is where many of us need to experience the strongest ministry of your Holy Spirit to call us away from this thief of porn and to the true giver of life. Many of us are guilty of porn again and again and again. Porn's hold on many of us is unrelenting. Many of us live with the blush of porn, the shame of repeated failure. Some of us are disgusted by the whole idea and angry at an industry that attempts to swallow up those we love. This morning we pray that you would help us to be a community that graciously and clearly invites those around us to find our ultimate satisfaction in you. On this issue, help us to be gracious but full of truth, loving but firm, courageous, tactful, and redemptive as we help those that are bruised by this brazen thief. Help us, Lord, to treat the opposite sex not as a means to an end, but as a person created in the beautiful image of God. Forgive us for dehumanizing men and women with porn and reducing sex to a commodity. Help every man or woman that is part of our church to not feel objectified or favored or disfavored because of their appearance, but to know of their infinite and intrinsic worth as a human being created in the image of a holy God. And as Paul says, we are his workmanship, his masterpieces. Help moms and dads, life group leaders, disciples, friends, to be humble, patient, walking in love as we walk the long road of redemption and healing with those we love in this area. And finally, Lord, many of us know that we need the Holy Spirit's help and the liberating power of the Word to lift off shame, to help us move from secrecy to accountability on this issue, and to experience deep, heartfelt forgiveness. So we invite you to move us, Lord. We invite you, Father, to transform us, to free us, to liberate us. Set the captives free. We pray this in the authoritative name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.